As always, we want to be able to honor, source, hunt human excellence. When we think of trajectory, we think of impact on kids. Arts High School had the great chance of speaking in front of these gifted kids. My man Prophet Cates got me in the front door.
Yes, sir, Rob.
Thank you, Prophet.
No, no doubt.
Not only is he a former high school legend basketball player, division, a scholarship basketball college player, but also he's the head coach and counselor of a school that is clearly making a difference in kids' lives for the better.
Yes, sir.
We're right here at the Atlantic City Live Period Hoop Group International, whatever we want to call it. And I had the good fortune of sharing some time with you. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. So you know, it's always a pleasure.
Tell us what's good. Tell us what you're seeing today.
A lot of good basketball. It's good being back, doing a live period, seeing a lot of coaching guys that I know, all the college coaches, Division I, Division II, just talking to them about, like, all the kids that I know and seen play over the years and over the past couple months, and just getting them on them, man, helping these kids get recruited.
Beautiful. And Prophet, I'm going to get into, like, today going forward. But before I do that, can you tell us all, because these are entrepreneurs, business owners, right?
People that
get multiple use of money. A little bit about where you're from in those early years. What did it look like
for you? I'm from Newark, New Jersey, born and raised.
Brick City.
Brick City. I'm all about hard work, man. Hard work and dedication. That's what it's about. And integrity, I try to teach my kids to move with integrity. And that's what I think we all trying to do.
And how did you fall in love with the game? How did that journey start?
My father, my godfather, they put the basketball in my hands. God rest their soul, they both passed away.
Rest in peace.
They had a lot of good players before me. They helped a lot of guys out there. So, I just kind of just fell in love with it, and then I'm just kind of paying it forward.
Now, did your dad play college ball?
My godfather played at Cornell.
Wow.
My father was a Division I football athlete. Back then when he was in college, high school, it was all about family, take care of family. So he was the oldest of seven siblings, so he had to leave college to come back home to work with his father to provide for the family.
Amazing. Do you have any siblings yourself?
Yes, I do.
How many?
I have two older siblings, two younger.
And now you grew up in Newark?
Yes.
So how was your, were you like a grammar school legend? Did you get better as time went on?
I was a sixth grader playing up in middle school. I played with all the eighth graders.
Amazing.
Started on my middle school team, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. Then going into high school, I was getting recruited by different high schools. Was actually on my way to go over to play at St. Anthony's. My cousin Edry Brody was over there already. He was over there already. I knew a couple guys. So a kid got robbed on a train. It wasn't me, but a kid got robbed, and my mom was like, "You're not traveling over to Jersey City every day whatever."
That was a risky travel back in the day. Every day,
your sneakers, coat. It was getting tucking, bro.
Even though it was like 7 miles away.
Right.
For anyone that's not in the New Jersey area that's watching this, from Newark to Jersey City is it's like going through a war in Iran and Iraq, right?
Trying
to be able to get there.
Right.
So, you've been around, and this is for the audience, you've been around great basketball.
Yes, sir.
And as a young kid, first of all, if you have a chance to go to St. Anthony's as a seventh and eighth grader, that means you're extraordinary. So let me play with that. So that means being where Prophet's from, he got a lot of attention. And if you're not careful at that early age from Newark, from Bayonne, no matter where you are, if you don't have discipline, what tends to happen?
Yeah.
And where did you get that discipline from?
Like I said, man, what tends to happen if you don't have, you get lost. And it's easy to get caught up in gang violence, being on the street, hustling, doing all that stuff, man. While kids was out doing what they were doing, I was in the gyms from 6 to 9 working out
every day. Yeah.
After school.
Yeah.
So after basketball practice, we're in about 5:30. I would catch the 99 bus and go to Chancellor Annex and work out from 6 to 9 o'clock.
So no one gave you a ride. You had to grind.
Nah. These kids today are spoil you, bro.
They got Uber.
They got Uber. The parents take them. My father was at work. I had to get myself there.
What I did is just horrible. The privilege I provided to my family is just unbelievably
challenging. Nah, man, look, hey, at the end of the day, you want to do that. You want to provide a better life, for your kids and things like that. That's why we work so hard. So it's not their fault.
No, not at all.
It's not their fault.
I know. So how many points did you score in high school?
Because 14.
That's not a normal thing.
Yeah, time when I was playing, we had some really, really good basketball players. God rest his soul, Keon Lawrence played at Missouri, finished up at Seton Hall. You know, Corey Chandler played at Rutgers, was Big East freshman of the year. You know, and I was like a new buck coming in as a freshman. I scored 1,400 points throughout my high school career.
Which is a lot.
And, you know, and we played in a good league, man. Playing in the North City League. You know, we played in the Colonial Hills Conference. Played against some NBA players like Kenneth Faried. Just a lot of different guys, man. And it was hard, bro. But at the end of the day, like, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So that was my thing. Like, you know, I wasn't the tallest, wasn't the fastest, couldn't jump the highest. But, you know, I was solid. And that's what it takes, man. You know, everybody's not going to be a star.
Yeah.
Like, there are positions. I talk to all these college coaches out here. They're looking for players who are good role players that fit a system.
Yep.
And that's why I try to tell these kids now, like, look, you don't got to go out here and drop 30. A college coach would know if you could play or not.
Yes. And if you fit the system, it's even better.
It's even better.
So where did you go to college? So senior year, tell me all about, like, senior year, you're getting recruited.
So, yeah, senior year, I was getting recruited. I had offers from Delaware State, a couple other schools. I took my official visit to Delaware State. At the time, Coach Walker was the coach. Went down there. I loved it. Went on a visit. I'll never forget this. My sister and my dad, we went down there on a visit. I'm walking with one of the players. I think he was from, like, Kansas City or whatever. And, like, these two girls walked past us, like, hey, like, you're a recruit? And I'm
that
like, yeah.
You were dumb?
No. So this all is funny. Right. I'm like, yeah, I'm a recruit. Like, oh, we got a party tonight. You should come. Like, you staying overnight? I'm like, yeah. I turned to my sister. She's like, you're not coming here. She was like, you're not coming here. So
did you go to the party?
Yeah, I didn't go to the party. Right. My sister was just, like, clocking me the whole time.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, after that, I wound up going to prep school for a year.
Wow. Where'd you go?
I went to Edison Prep. It's closed down now.
Yep.
Really good prep school. We played against South Kent, all these different schools, Northfield, Mount Hermon.
Wow.
St. Thomas More, legendary school.
Yep.
I played against Drummond that plays for the Pistons.
Yep.
I played against a lot of pros in that conference.
So you've been around, like, just dynamite
basketball. Really good
basketball.
Really good basketball, man. I had the privilege. Like, played against a lot of good players, man. Russ Smith that played at Louisville. I'll never forget that game.
I remember him.
We played against each other. He had a really good game, man. I think he had, like, 35. I might have had, like, 28. The score was like 128, 125. They beat us in double overtime. Like, good basketball, man. It was a good time.
So when did you eventually play in college?
So then after that, I went out to California, got hurt.
What was the injury, if you don't mind me asking?
I broke my fifth metatarsal.
Was that a tough one? Or?
Yeah, because, like, it's like the last bone in your foot. And it's like this piece right here. So I broke it, had to sit out. Wound up transferring mid-year to Monroe College, Division I JUCO in New Rochelle, New York.
Okay.
We were the number one team in the country. I was the captain of that team. We wound up going to the national championship.
Wow.
After that, I went to go play at Wilmington University, which my head coach is in here somewhere around here.
How cool is that?
Yeah, Coach Dan Burke. And now he's recruiting guys that I'm, you know, actually telling him, like, you know, who to look out for. But I owe a lot to Coach Dan Burke, man. Like, you know, he's a good guy, man. He, you know, I welcomed him into Wilmington. He welcomed me.
Amazing.
And it was just like a family, man. So I'm glad to see what he's doing now. That's Division II basketball, NCAA. You know, he's building a really good program, and I'm happy to, you know, assist him.
You know, one of the things I've always admired about you is you really genuinely want to give.
Oh, right? No doubt.
To be part of something bigger, and you want to give.
No doubt.
And the impact when you know, Alexa and I came to the school, and I saw the impact that you have it on these kids. It was amazing.
Wow, I appreciate that.
Truly amazing. So what happened, like, after you'd done college basketball?
So,
is your next step in life?
So I was actually about to sign with an agent to go overseas to go play pro. And what was it, 25 days, a month, I'll say, before everything was solidified, my father had a stroke.
Wow.
So my father had his first stroke. I dropped basketball, came home. You know, I finished up my master's degree at Wilmington in public administration. I came home. I was like, listen, my father wanted me to go overseas. I said, look, Dad, like, you took care of me for how many ever years of my life? Like, now it's time for me to take care of you.
Yeah.
To me, it was just a sign. So, like, you know, I took care of him for his last 3-4 years on earth.
Yep.
It was a blessing, man. I just really enjoy a lot of time with him. Me being away from college for the last 4 or 5 years. So I got to spend another 4 years with him before his death. before he passed away.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, man. Like, it was just, it was special to me because I started to fall in love with what he was doing prior to his stroke and just giving back to the community, giving back to the kids, you know, in the gym, working kids out. And I mean, look, man, like one of my kids just got drafted to the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow.
22, first round pick.
Yo.
Like, so that was huge, man. So,
Wow, look at that.
If it wasn't, and I'm not gonna lie, if it wasn't for my father having, like, you know, having a stroke, I probably would have never met that kid because that time that he had the stroke, like, I was able to come home and be a part of, a huge part of this kid's development and to getting them to where he is today. So I'm proud of that, you know, and it's just like, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason.
That's right.
You know, so like my father, his death isn't in vain. Like, you know, like he's living through me and I'm just trying to continue to, you know, help kids, man.
Amazing. I love that. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes things happen when they're supposed to happen, right?
Right, right, right.
Relationships get developed.
Yep.
Call it relationship capital, right?
Yep, yep.
And by staying in that place of relationship capital, what happens is you put yourself in a position to prosper.
Right.
So at the end of the day, we want to be able to understand the importance of, okay, you were in this kid's life, you went on a different trajectory. What did that look like as far as like eventually going to arts high school and doing it?
Well, so I was just training a lot of kids. And then one of my players that just graduated, he just graduated with a 4.3 GPA, Elijah Nix. He's playing for Lincoln University next year. His head coach and new head assistant coach is here right now today. And they were just telling me about how, you know, wonderful a young man he is. He works hard in the weight room, in the classroom, you know, on the court. And they were thanking me. And I was just like, listen, man, like, you know, that kid is a hard worker. But his father is the reason why I coach high school basketball. He saw the passion that I had with the kids and how the kids just gravitated to me. He was like, dude, you got to coach high school basketball. And me, I was just, you know, cool with coaching AAU, had some college coaches, you know. I was offered a college job, Division II in New York, and I started the job, and then it just didn't feel right, you know. And even though, to me, I think it's easier coaching college kids because you get to actually select them and actually give them scholarships. So you're recruiting someone that you want rather than taking the kids that's in, you know, in your neighborhood or in your area. I thought it would be a lot easier, but just the relationship that me and those college kids had versus me and the high school kids had was totally different. And I just missed the high school culture. So went back to University High School, start coaching there with Coach Elijah Allen. You know, he's like a Hall of Fame coach in the Newark area.
Wow.
You know, he's a Hall of Fame player too at FDU. He's one of their all-time leading scorers. He had like 43 points in the NCAA tournament against Richard Hamilton and UConn. Yeah, he lit it up, man. So going under plan, coaching under him for a couple years was great. Learned a lot. And then, you know, actually going to Arts High, it was like, you know, like that's home.
Yep.
You know, so when a job opened up, my old vice principal.
What year was that?
During COVID, so 1920.
Okay.
So 2021 was my first official season at Arts High School. And we just changed everything, man, You know, came in with a new attitude. The kids bought in. And, man, it was just a blessing, man, just to kind of be in a school that I know I put my blood, sweat, and tears in.
Love it.
And then, like, to actually now in 2023, my first graduating class, all five of my kids went to school for free.
And what do you look like? What does your team look like this year?
Like right now they have us preseason top 10 in the state.
Whoa.
So I'm excited about
that. Wow. How many D1 players are you looking at potentially?
Potentially, I think like from incoming freshmen of 2020 to the 2024 class that'll be graduating this year, I think we probably got about like six guys that can possibly go D1.
Wow. So let me ask you a coaching question right now, right? You have whatever your team is right now, but you got other kids coming in. Do you play your best eight players no matter what grade?
Yeah, I don't care.
How does that work for you?
Like, it's just whoever performing, practice, consistency. Like, that's to sum it up. Like, if you can consistently bust your ass, work hard, you know, on the court, off the court, be a good person, you know, like, all that matters to me. And and you don't have to be the best basketball player, right? But I'll get you better, right? Like, I'll figure out what your niche is, and I'll make you a star in your role. You get what I'm saying?
So do you have any young kids that are coming in? And how do you have the older kids accept it and put their arm around them and make it part of the culture?
So exactly. And I was just about to say a part of the culture. Like, that's one thing that we're big on. culture. So what I do is, in all workouts, summer workouts, I pair up my younger guys with the older guys. And it's my older guys' job to, like, bring the younger guys along.
Got it.
And within that, they become little brothers to them.
Got it.
Like, you know, friends, you know, and that's how you build that relationship.
I love that.
So now when a season comes, there's no separation between the team.
All
the young guys, the older guys, no, like, we're all one team.
I love that. It's
we're
amazing.
All one team, so.
And right now, it's like summer, you're allowed to coach.
Yep,
in high
yep,
school.
Yep, yep.
So what does your everyday look like for the kids that you're, like, what does it look like right now between now and
so between so once the live once this live period is over, like, so we have what we call like hell weeks. So like we call
I love
like,
that.
Yeah, hell weeks. So like
I love it.
So we have
hell week. Yeah, yes, we, let's
we
go
have,
for it.
So we have 4 weeks of hell, right?
Woo!
So like literally it's like nonstop strengthening, conditioning, workouts, like 2-a-days. It's hard and it's Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
I give them a weekend off because you know it's summer, they're going away with their parents or whatever, some AAU tournaments, but for the most part, every kid is supposed to be at all 4 hell weeks.
That's right.
You know, between now and the end of August. So, like, when those, like, the kids, like, they love it, though. They hate it and they love it because when they come out of it, they feel like they achieved something.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I learned this from Buzz Williams. So,
Buzz,
if Coach Buzz, Texas A&M head coach, we share the same birthday. That's my guy. I text him all the time. You know, he kind of, like, I have this thing on. That their coaching staff, they, this was Texas A&M, it's be a brother's keeper.
Love it.
Yeah, be a brother's keeper. So
I love that.
So I wear that every day. They sent them to my guys, like they sent them to me, and I actually gave them out to all my players. So like, and my players, like they actually live by that as well, like be a brother's keeper. So during those hell weeks, like you are responsible for your teammates.
I love it.
Like, you know, if he don't make the if he don't make this 9-second sprint, that's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, like so it's all about like camaraderie, sticking together, pushing each other, just building a culture, building a family.
So where do you see yourself for the next 5 years?
Right now, I'm not going to lie. It's like, you know me, I'm very like
and you listen,
path.
You're up. You're up. And like you're working. You sleep 5 hours a day, right?
Basically.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of connective tissue there.
Right.
And you're always innovating. You're always looking to take the next step. And
right.
So I get all that, but for these folks, like, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
So, honestly, like, I see myself being, like, a player manager, like NBA, you know, like, overseas guys, like, just managing them. Not an agent, but a manager.
I like that.
Somebody who's going to steer these guys in the right
like
direction.
That.
Keep them away from, like.
Is that are you sending me a message right now? Are you trying to tell me something? Because you know I got my collective open.
I know.
And you know that I'm going to get a sports media company.
Hey, man, let's put it together, man.
So, good. Tell me more.
So, it's just like I said, man, like right now, I manage Nas Cunningham, one of the top players in the class of 2024.
It's amazing, dude.
You know, he's a really good kid, man. We do brand management, the whole nine, man. And things are coming together. He's excited. You know, I'm excited about it. Everything. I've been managing for like a year now.
I love
we done did camps, clinics, the whole nine. He has a whole like apparel line.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's big, man. It's big, man. So we're doing big things. He's just the first of many. So
if they want to check out Nas' apparel line, where do they go?
So they he has sweatsuits on Exist.com. It's a brand out of Canada. And then we just launched his t-shirt and shorts brand with Local Hoops.
And what about you? If they want to find you, how do they find you?
Oh, IG, Coach Prof. It's that simple.
Coach Prof. Prophet Cates. Think about that name. That's a legendary name. You don't hear that name every day. So, all right, so let's go. Next 5 years, you want to start elevating to really being able to be in a part of kids' future and really preparing them. And what does that look like for you, like 5 years from now?
I mean, first, we got to win a state championship at Arts.
What if you win one this year? Then what happens?
I got to see, man.
So you're open.
You're
open to all possibilities.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I have a lot of good freshmen coming in, and I have to see them through. So 5 years is a good amount of time from their freshman year, which is this upcoming year, to their senior year to see those guys through on the school, and then I can make a decision.
But in life right now, are you like in the zone right now? Is all the pieces coming together for you?
Yeah.
You've been doing a lot of prep work to get to this point?
Nah, yeah. I mean, listen, I've been in grassroots for the last 9 years, 4 years on the Adidas circuit, 2 years on UAA, 3 years on the Nike circuit. I made a lot of good connections, a lot of good friends, built a lot of great relationships that I value.
Yep.
I'm not a man of burning bridges. I keep my word. You know, and I'm just all about building, man. So through that time, I just navigated, and, you know, now I'm here.
It's amazing.
Sitting with Rob Gill.
Rob Gill disrupted AAU.
Right, right.
Prophet Cates is part of the team. Prophet Cates sees things that sees what others don't see. So, Prof, let me ask you this. You're going to, let's say you accomplish your goal, right, next 5-7 years. And when it's all said and done, there's a dash between the day you were born and the day you shuffle off this mortal coil. What does that dash mean to you? What does that look like? And by the way, after you answer that, if you could tell these entrepreneurs how you overcome adversity and what some of your rituals are, that'd be really cool.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that dash would just say, like, a giver. Like, you know, someone who helps, especially in my community. Like, I'm big on community. I mean, obviously, you was at the school.
I love that. The school.
All the kids were, like, coming up to me, coach, coach, coach. Like,
love it.
Like, I'm like the, how do you say that? Like, the, like, basically another principal, basically, at the school.
I loved it. That was such a gift for me.
No, it was great having you, man. But, like you said, man, like, that dash would just be, you know, basically just explaining to everybody, like who I was as a person, and like basically continuing what my father and my godfather did.
That's amazing.
You know, just giving back and helping everybody that I can. Yeah. You can't help, you can't save everybody, but the ones you can, like, save them, you know?
How do you delineate the difference when sometimes, like, you want something more for somebody than they want it themselves? When do you draw a line in the sand?
It's an old saying, like, you know, you could bring the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. Like, I'll show kids, like, look, this is the path that you need to take. This is the plan. Like, we call them action plans at our school. This is the action plan. If you follow this action plan, this is the success.
I love that.
If I see the kid deviate from the action plan, that means that he's not serious. So I know to move on.
And you give him, like, a warning?
Yeah, like, I'll let him know. Like, yeah. Hey, listen, like, fall into the wayside a little bit. Let's try to get back on track. But if he continuously doing the same thing, then, like, look, like, you know, like, that's redundant. Like, you know, people who continuously do the same thing over and over, it's little insanity. It's called insanity. So, you know, we try to, like, you know, like, it's deviate from all that stuff. I try to keep the kids on the right path.
You do a tremendous job, Prophet. And when you come across a kid that, you know, maybe going through some mental health or there's some problems at home, how do you handle that?
I mean, me personally, like, I talk to these kids one-on-one. I have an open door policy. Like, so all the kids come into my office any time of the day.
Yeah.
Whatever they want to talk about, it could be anything, and they know it's confidential.
Yeah.
So whatever we talk about in the confined space of those four walls in my office stays in my office.
Amazing.
And the kids know that because, like, all the kids know that. I mean, I'll talk to anybody from freshmen, male, female, indifferent, seniors, the same way. And I give it to them real. Like, yeah. You know, like, that stays in the office, and they need that. Like, a lot of things now are so sugar-coated, and we can't say this, we can't say that. And it's honestly making our kids today soft.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so like I said, the more real you can be, the better it is, especially in this day and age. Because these kids don't know what you had to go through coming up, what I had to go through, or any other people watching, you know, like in our eras, like, it was tough, man. Like, nowadays, like, you know, these kids can, you know, they can say whatever they want to say. They can post whatever they want to post. Like, I wish I had social media, like Instagram and all that, post highlights when I was coming up. Like, what? Like, I would have been a walking, like, you know, like, it's a lot of good players. We talk about this all the time that, like, you know, we wish we had certain things. But, you know, it is what it is. A lot of this has made our kids a little soft. That's
and
all.
If you don't mind, like, parents that are out there, right,
mm-hmm.
that think the high school coach is going to get their kid in college.
Right, right, right.
Can you talk to the parent right now about what your job really is?
Right.
Not necessarily get them into a college more than create a map and a strategy where they got to be able to put their own,
right,
not only basketball work, but obviously their own reach out, emails, and everything else.
Yeah, well, for me, it's a little different because I come from the grassroots world. You know, like, it's like I take pride in getting my kids into college.
Yep.
You know, but for other coaches, you know, generally their job is to win basketball games.
Yes.
You know, and put out the best product on the floor.
Yes.
And win.
Yes.
Over at Arts High School, like, we have three things that we do. We develop, we win, and we get our kids in college.
I love that.
Like, that's what it's about.
So as a leader, actionable leader that understands peak performance mindset, understands how to create leverage with disruption, what are some of the habits and rituals that you have that separate you from other people?
Well, getting up early is one. I know everybody hate getting up early, but getting up early is one. Meditation before I do anything. Before I coach, Like, I literally sit in my office for like 30 minutes silent.
And what does that look like?
It's just me and just closing my eyes. Not really, like, I'm not napping. I'm just seeing the game play out. Like, what my guys are good at, what they aren't good at. Just being able to put them in position before they even touch the floor. And then I go into prep with my coaches, then to the game.
Amazing. So, folks, check it out. First of all, go ahead and click the link below. If you have any questions, feel free to direct them right in here. I will private message Prophet and connect you with them if there's any questions. Continue to follow. And if you want to reach out and speak to Prophet separately, Rob, how can they reach you one last time?
Oh, man, let's just follow me at Coach Prof on Instagram and on Twitter. I'm more than happy to help, you know, friends, family, whoever, moms, dad, you know, players, former players, coaches, whatever. We can connect, build. I'm all about helping people. So, yep.
And we're looking forward to seeing you win a state championship this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That you gotta win. I can't wait to come to some of the games.
Hey, listen, honestly, like, this is my preseason.
Let's go.
I think it's going to be us in Camden, which is going to be a barn burner at the Rack. Shout out to Coach Malik Waynes, one of my good friends. He's the head coach at Camden High School. So I hope to see him at the Rack this winter. Yeah. So, yeah, no,
I can't wait to come to games in Newark.
Nah, it's going to be.
I'll be ready to
sold
come.
Out. I'll get you a front row.
I got to be in the front row.
Oh, though. Front row. We all have right. Front row seats.
All right, really? Like VIP seats?
VIP seats.
Wow, that's awesome.
Our games get that packed, man. So I'll make sure Rob, Gill, and Associates, whoever with you, let me know. Put you on the list.
Thank you, Coach.
All good, man.
I appreciate everything.
All good.
Man. Looking forward to keep building with you.
No doubt.
And once again, continue to follow. Drop some of the information in the links below. We also have some other links. If you want to check out my book or if you want to go on an Epic Financial Freedom map, whatever works for you. And always check us out. Epic Elite AAU, we change the game 100 days or less. Season 2 for Epic Elite starts August 1st.